everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those joining us online as we celebrate the glory of Jesus' resurrection. Amen? For a few weeks now, we have been in this series, Encounter, and we've been looking at the lives of various people who had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And we've seen that many of these persons who had these encounters, if not almost all of them, were changed. Remember, we talked about Andrew, and there was Mary and Martha, Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman, James and John, there was Jairus. And these people, each one of them, when they encountered Jesus' life, his ministry, everything it was about, they were transformed. They were changed. But not everyone who encountered Jesus was changed. We saw, remember, Caiaphas, who was the Jewish high priest, and the other chief priests and elders remained unchanged in their encounter with Jesus. They were unwilling to let go of their pride and their power, unwilling to consider that perhaps their understanding was limited. Maybe they didn't understand everything that they thought they did. Those same things today, pride and unwillingness, continue to hinder people from having their own life-changing encounter with Jesus. So today on this Easter Sunday, we want to look at another story of someone who had an encounter with Jesus. Her name is Mary Magdalene. And Mary was one of the women who was a close follower of Jesus. She was an important figure in biblical history, for she was the first person to whom Jesus appeared after he had been raised. So what can we learn about Mary and her story? First of all, long before that first Easter Sunday morning, Jesus changed her life. Long before that first Easter. Now, we don't know all of the specifics, but for both Mark and Luke in their Gospels, they indicate that Mary was one of those from whom Jesus cast out demons. Cast out demons. Whatever the details, we read in Luke 8:1, the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. We don't know the details, but my guess is, before she met Jesus, Mary Magdalene's life must have been a living hell. We can only imagine what that might have meant for her. But Jesus changed all of that. And that's what Jesus Christ can do. Remember this about Jesus. He can change any life. He can change any life. So what is your situation? What is there perhaps that might be troubling you? Is there some kind of a physical battle? Or maybe that's a spiritual battle that's raging within you right now. Maybe there's a health concern. Or maybe it is a relationship struggle. Or perhaps there's an inner conflict. You know, the enemy of our soul, he is always trying to discourage us, trying to pull us down, trying to depress us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to pull us down, to cloud our thinking. He wants to get us into a position of doing something self-destructive. But we need to resist the devil, resist the enemy, and he'll flee from us. He wants us to look. The Lord wants us to look to him. He can change any life. He can redeem our messes. He can transform your pain. That's what Mary Magdalene came to understand about Jesus. Secondly, notice that Mary was living in response to grace. Now, whatever the circumstances had been, after Jesus had impacted her life, Mary was living in response to grace. The good news of the gospel is this, and never forget it. God loves us. He cares for us. And even when we mess up and sin, he never gives up on you or me. What is it that Mary Magdalene did to ever earn or to ever merit God's grace, God's favor? Nothing. Her life was a mess, but she simply came in brokenness and great need to Jesus, and he healed her. He cast those seven demons out of her life, and from that time forward, she found herself experiencing wholeness and peace and newness of life. What's your story? What is it that you need to have God do in your life right now? You don't have to be perfect to receive God's forgiveness, his mercy, his love, his acceptance, his healing in Christ. Story is told of a woman who said, "My husband never gets around to doing the things I've asked him to do because he's operating on MST. And her friend said, "MST? What is that?" She said, "Male Standard Time." Male Standard Time. And her friend said, "Well, what do you mean by that? Male Standard Time?" She says, "It's the time during which things are done somewhere between next week and never more." Isn't it great, men and women, that we don't have to be perfect, hallelujah, to receive God's grace? Certainly Mary Magdalene came to the place where she understood that. So what did she do? Well, in response to God's grace, she gave. She gave of her time, her talent, her treasure. Mary was one of the women who traveled with Jesus and his disciples. She was on the support team. No doubt they took care of a lot of the little things. You know, there are always just little things that have to be done behind the scenes. Luke 8:3 says of Mary and the others, these women were helping to support them out of their what? Own means. They spent their own money and resources to support Jesus and his team. And why did they do it? Gratitude. They were grateful for all that Jesus had done for them. And you know what? Gratitude is a great way of life. People who are truly thankful, who find ways to express their appreciation and gratitude, have a great experience of life. And why is that? Because gratitude is not self-focused. Gratitude is other-focused. And so we learn to say, God, I am grateful for what you have done and what others are doing in my life, and I can't help but express it. So I have special memories of my own father's expressing his gratitude. He came into a personal encounter with Jesus Christ near his 40th birthday. It happened when my parents had gone off on a marriage enrichment weekend in seeking to explore ways to rekindle the love in their own relationship. They got personally in touch with Jesus' love for them. And it changed both of their lives. And my siblings and I, we watched our parents all of a sudden, you know, they're hugging on each other more than they ever did. They're sharing things. They're saying things to themselves and to us that, you know, we just didn't know what to think. What was going on? My dad, about that time, you know, he would say things like, you know, these first 40 years of my life, I just seemed like maybe they've been wasted. But now that I've come to Christ, I wonder what my destiny might be. Over time, God spoke to him, and he began to understand what that was. He said, you know, and he would try to express it from time to time. He said, I've discovered what my destiny is. It's you seven kids. You are my destiny. Helping you to come to know Christ, to come to know his love for you and his acceptance for you in the way that I've come to know it, in the way that it has changed my life. He says, you are my destiny. He's gone. He's been gone about 15 years now this year. But all seven of us, we continue to be grateful for the legacy of faith and gratitude that he left for us. He said, you are destiny. Well, gratitude can become a great way of living. So what kind of gratitude are you cultivating toward God and others in your own life? I want us to think about that. Third thing that we can learn from Mary's story is this. Jesus' death was something that she did not understand. For Mary, as for all of the disciples, the immediate question in everyone's mind was, why? Why did this have to happen? Why, God? Jesus obviously had your blessing. He obviously had your power, Lord, your authority. He was the Messiah, the anointed one. He was the light of life. Why did his death have to happen? It came as such a crushing blow. Even when Mary told Peter and John that the stone had been rolled back and that the body is missing, they could not put the terrifying image of Jesus' crucifixion and his death out of their minds. So they ran, they saw the empty tomb, but they did not understand what truly had happened yet. The scripture simply says in John 20:10, then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. At this point, Jesus' death was the dominant image in the hearts and minds of the disciples. And it was a stunning turn of events. Jesus had been arrested, then he was tried, he was crucified, and then he had died. And none of them expected that. Remember, they were counting on the fact that he's come to launch this new kingdom and we're going to be part of it. And isn't that going to be great for us? But all of that was over. And even if his body was now somewhere how gone or perhaps stolen, what difference did that make? His death had ended everything. All of their dreams were shattered. And Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And we can understand that. Because then as now, sometimes God's purpose and plan is not clear. It's not clear. Who among us has not felt that before? Who among us has not said or thought these words, Lord, why has this happened? Why has this happened to me? What about our dreams? What about our plans? And our eyes well up with tears and grief. Those are tough times. Those are hard times. And yet they are still times to hang on to our faith. Hello? Those are still times to hang on to our trust in God. It's in those times when it is important to be connected with others in the body of Christ. And that's why around here we always are regularly encouraging each other to be connected in a small group, in a class, on a ministry team. Because that's where you can voice your questions. You can share your concerns. That's where you can have other people praying for you. Because, you know, sometimes in life, God's purpose and his plan is just not clear. And it helps to be connected. And yet, in Mary's case, Jesus came and turned her sorrow into joy. In the midst of her tears, the Lord appeared. He turned her sorrow into joy. And you know what? That can happen for us as well. At first, Mary didn't recognize Jesus. And you know what? Grief does that to us. Ever been there? So consumed, caught up in our own emotions that we can't see or perceive what is really going on. The pain is so deep that we can't hear anything else, see anything else. Jesus asked woman, whom or why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? And at that time, she really wasn't even listening to what's being said. And then Jesus, he simply said, Mary. Mary. He spoke her name. And immediately she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni! Rabboni! In a moment, Jesus turned her sorrow into joy. Because in one moment, he raised, her thoughts passed from the sorrow of death to the joy of life. Jesus is no longer dead. She realized he is alive. She couldn't help but go run and tell the others of what she had seen and heard. I have seen the Lord. Remember this. The resurrection changes everything. Because Jesus has been raised, we too have the promise of resurrection. Because Jesus lives, we too will live with him in glory. One day, I will see my dad again because of the resurrection. Because Jesus is alive, we have new life by the power of the Holy Spirit within right now, in the present, new life with Christ. Jesus was no longer dead, he was alive. There will always be naysayers, skeptics, and doubters. But as long as there is breath on the earth, there will be Christians who hold bold to declare our faith. And I hope that you will be one of them. There will always be doubters and skeptics. But remember this, there is nothing like the story of your own encounter with Jesus. It's the most compelling witness that you can ever make. This is how God has been working in my life. Like Mary Magdalene, like the disciples, like so many others, I pray that you will have your own personal experience with your own encounter with the living Christ. And when you experience the presence and the power of Jesus at work in your life, there's nothing like it in all the earth. Amen. You are impacted. You are being changed. You're being transformed. And you can't help but go out and share with others what it is that God is doing. So, what is your story? And how has Christ made himself known to you? And how is it that he is impacting your life? What story do you have to tell? And how are you doing in telling it? I want us to think about that yet today. So let's pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, gracious Master, Almighty God, loving Lord, we thank you for this experience of resurrection celebration today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And may the power of that truth reign in our hearts now and forevermore. Mary Magdalene and the others were devastated. Sometimes it happens. God's purpose and plans are not immediately clear. There are times of struggle and pain in our life, but Jesus turned Mary's sorrow into joy. His resurrection changed everything. It changed everything for her. It can change everything for you. So we glory in the power of Jesus' resurrection today. We glory in the difference that Christ can make in any life. Let him impact your life today. Say, Jesus, come. Come and live in me. And if you decide that today, tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about it. It's the best decision you can make, a decision you will never regret. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, Amen.